goede wijzen kwam. En dan merken we een stedelijk hij weer van ongeveer 2 jaar oud. Wens we weten waar haar ouders erschrakt weer. En hij wil, wie je reed, dat we een kennik worden geboren weer. En hebben we angst, hij wil zijn troon verlieren. En hij moet zeggen, aan zien zijn, wens zeggen dat dit Jezus kind wordt ook doodgemerkt worden. En dan leiden alle kleine jongens 2 jaar en jonger doodmerken. Zo dan nam hij aan. Jezus was vielleicht groot met ongeveer 2 jaar gewaast, dus de wijzen kwamen. En hier in Lucas kapitel 2 hebben we een geschicht van hoe Jezus en zijn ouders in Jeruzalem gingen te de Pascha-vast. In Lucas kapitel 2, ik wil een 41 vers aanvangen en een dag, maar vers 52. Nu is Jezus en ouders naar Jeruzalem gingen alle jaren te de Pascha-maal, en Jezus was 12 jaar oud, ging ze naar Jeruzalem naar de gewaanheid van het vast. En als ze de deel erveld hadden en ze teruggingen, dat kind Jezus dat bleef hangen in Jeruzalem en Jozef en zijn moeder wisten dat niet. Maar ze werden zich eenig, hij weerde maakte andere wat er met hen reizen deden en ze gingen voor ongeveer een dag en dan her zagen ze naar het kind maakte de bekende. En als ze hem niet vongen, dan wangen ze om en jenken terug naar Jeruzalem om hem te vingen. En dan nam zich zo om dat nu 3 deel vongen ze hem. Im tempel, hij zat er maakte de geleerde, de dokters, hij harcht nu eind en vroeg eind vele vrouwen. En als ze hem hielden, wonderden ze zich voor wat hij alle kon verstaan en de antwoorden wat hij geef. Het is een stem met ons omgegaan. Die in voren en ik had die gezegd. En op Engels zegt dat we were sorrowing. Ze weer een angst zouden zijn. En hij zei, wat is het dat je nu mij gezegd had? Wist je niet dat ik moest bij mijn voren zijn arbeid zijn? En ze verstonden niet wat hij in zijn deed. Maar ze, hij ging met hen en kwam naar Nazareth. Hij wilde het dingen doen, maar zijn moeder behield al deze dingen. Ze behield al deze dingen en hij hoort. En Jezus nam toe en wijsheid en hij was op. En hij had een gevallen van God en van mensen. Wanneer ik nu een beetje aanloten deed, die van ons wat de ouderen zijn en kingen gaan. En wanneer die deel, die tijd weer het reizen anders is nu, dan gingen ze te fout. En wanneer hij al een dag gereisd had en aan een dag niet het kind vingen deed, wat zij goed wisten van hoe het kind kwam. Dat wie een wonder, God had in dat en eerder schoot gelijk zou zijn, God had in dat kind gegeven. Hij had van hen verlangd dat ze dat zullen bezorgen en bevleien. En hier is het kind niet met hen. En ze gingen terug, wer would niet? En dan de andere staat nog 3 deel zeker wat ze door dat kind vangen. Kan hij zich meest niet meer verstellen. En hij weet van eens hoe mama's of de grootouders het kind is uitgegaan en dan kan hij dat niet vangen en dan zeker ze al ernstig. En dan kan een stund en een zeer lange tijd ver, want ze dat kind nog niet gevangen hebben. En hier, Jezus in de ouderen, voor 3 deel. Maar hoe vangen ze hem? Vielleicht hebt u steden waar wie van deel willen zijn, waarom we dat niet de eerste steden waar je kijken ging, maar hij weer in de tempel, met de schriftgeleerden, met de uitgeleerden, met de dokters. Hij vroeg hen dingen af en zij wonderden zich met de verstandnis wat hij had. Jezus weer een licht in de wereld. Hij weer bijzonders. Hij wil niet boos in je wil niet anderen kent. En dit Oosterfeest, dat is zeer wichtig voor de Juden. En dat is hoe de Juden zich dat denken hebben van het Pascha-feest, wat zij in Egypte moesten doen, hoe bloed moest even een deren geschmeerd, zodat de engel van dood would niet in haar huis aankomen, maar even haar huis gaan en dat het oudste kind niet moet sterven. Ze hopen zich te alle tijd denken, wat wichtig en wat genetisch God met hen gewaast weer. En we zijn uit in de Slowarie, uitkomen, uit Egyptenland, en we zijn hier vrij weer. En zo is Jezus ook voor ons. Hij is weer zijn ons Pasalam. Hij noemt onze schuld op zich. Hij leidt zich kritzigen. Hij sterf, hij betoelt de zinnen schuld, wat doen en ik zullen werkelijk zelfs betoelen. Hij maakt ons vrij. Wanneer we Jezus aan ons hart hebben, aan hem aangenomen hebben, dan zijn we vrij. Werkelijk vrij. Wir können vielleicht im Gefangen sein, wir können wo immer unerwähnt sein, fast sein, wir sind vielleicht ungedohnt und weiter, oder was immer das muss sein, aber jetzt sind wir frei. Und wir sehen, dass Jesus wie 12 Jahre alt ist, haben sie die Eltern mitgehen. Und das hat mich ein bisschen mehr gewundert, und das ist ein bisschen besiegt, aber ein einziger Gemeindeheik von den Hirten, besonders in Mexiko, wo ich hänge abwassen, die werden nicht mitgenommen zur Kirche, aber die 12 Jahre alt werden. Und dann kämen die mit den Eltern mit zur Kirche. Das ist das, was die Gedanken von ihr kommen, ich weiß nicht, aber ich merke mir das vielleicht deutlich, das können sein. Aber 12 Jahre alt wie Jesus, und dann hat er auch Wissenschaft und Weisheit, viel mehr ist ein anderes Kind von dort aller wird haben. Was sie gingen und sie sagten, nur das Jesus sind. Und so ist es auch, du und ich, wenn wir uns einmal erschrecken in im Leben und vielleicht nicht wissen, wo wir sie handdrehen, dann ist es wichtig, dass wir erst nur Jesus sehen dürfen. Nur seine Weisheit checken dürfen. Und am Frauen dürfen, was wirst du mit mir? Wo soll ich haben? Wo soll ich die ewige Zeit in meinem Leben die dienen? Und so für verschiedene Frauen, der einzige, der die Antworten hat, ist Jesus. Und dann wollten sie manchmal nicht all die Antworten auf einmal geben. Aber wenn wir uns alle Tage handgeben, dann ein Tag auf einmal wird er uns leiden, er wird uns lenken. Und das ist wichtig, dass wir, dass Jesus sieht, er wird uns in Vordersinn hüß, er wird uns in Vordersinn geschafft, so zu sein. Und wenn ein Kind Eltern hat, und die Eltern, die uns mit Arbeit abgeben, dann würden wir sein, die Kinder sind in den Eltern geschafft. Von daher würden wir uns selbst freuen, sehr wie in uns himmlischer Vater und Jesus sind geschafft. Da wie seine Arbeit, da wie andere Leben bewiesen, dass Jesus uns auf Leben bewiesen, sehr wie freundlich zu anderen, dass Jesus freundlich wird. Und ich denke dafür, und hier reden wir von der Aufwand, wo Jesus 12 Jahre alt wird, Lothar hat seine Jünger in anderen Rahmen wollen mit einem Gleichnis wiesen, wo wir sollen zum Glauben kommen und was für Vertrauen wir sollen dabei haben, dann nimmt er sich ein Kind abgeschaut. Und sie sagten, die waren humble oder demütig, und es ist ein kleines Kind, dann ist das Himmelreich jüngt. Und was er meint zu lernen ist, nicht leben, du weißt alles, willst du in gewisser Alle hast. Aber sie immer open zu Dingen lernen, sie immer open zu der jesten Leitung, dass die Wort in dein Leben führen, zu alle Zeit. Und dann, wo wir ein Tag, wie wir vielleicht sagen, ein Stopp auf einmal, immer nur mit Jesus sein. Er wird uns leiden, er wird uns lenken. Und alles wissen wird, dann habe ich die innerliche Friede. Dann habe ich vielleicht nicht so eine Angst, dass Jesus in den Eltern hat, dass sie nicht mehr wissen, wo das Kind wird. Kann er sich bloß mal proben, fertigstellen, was von Angst einem wird durchgehen. Und so ist es auch, wenn man einmal noch eine Heilung kauft, mit so einer, wo er vielleicht Lothar in einem Leben erst zu den Bekehrung gekommen. Der vertelt dann einmal von was von Angst sie vor dem Herrn gehabt. Was war, ich habe einmal hastig so gestorben. Was will jeder mit mir haben? Und dort jaft eine Angst. Und Gott sei Dank, wenn so eine Person dann auf der Rechte steht, segnen dann. Und wenn wir die begegnen dann, so eine Person, wer war uns Licht, Lot und Schien, das ist gesehen, Matthäus 5, 16. Lot und Licht so schien, dass wenn andere uns sehen dann, dass der Gott ihren dann für das Leben, was sie führen dann. Und dann wieder würde ich noch einmal mit einem Punkt nehmen, mit wo Jesus seine Mutter, Maria. Und sie mir, hoffe ich eigentlich, dass sie verstand noch nicht einmal alles, woran Dinge so zu gehen ist das Deid. Aber ein Ding deid sei, sie behält alle diese Dinge in ihr Hort. Und so war wie auch, mit meiner Mutter sein, wer wird Jesus uns wiesen, uns lehren, wer wird dort deib in uns Hortloten hinsingen? Wer wird dort behauen? Wer wird dort wichtig schätzen? Und dann ist Jesus das Kind, er wird 12 Jahre alt, er wird seine Eltern eingedauen, er ging trägt mit ihnen und Nazareth, und er nimmt Tau, er was ab, er kriegt mehr Weisheit, und Menschen gelächten ihm. Und wenn ihr das nicht reine will, ein Leben führen, wo einer Segen deckt, dort Menschen sollen gefallen an einem Hand. Aber weißt du, Schwester, in Wirklichkeit, wenn wir Jesus noch folgen, dann wollen Menschen in gefallen haben an uns. Dann haben die nicht Dinge zu kritisieren und zu sein. Und wenn sie dann ons leven, dus wir schon reden von einem Matthäus 5, 16, wat zo'n zijn, wat willen zijn die, wat er nee zijn willen, oder jen om willen zijn, dat wat die stel merken. So wel we zo'n licht zijn, en wel we toon nemen, en ons Jesu je leven te alle tijd. Ik weet dat weer vele jaren terug is, een jonge man, dan dacht ik eens maar zo, want ik weet met wem noberen deed, die vielleicht al 70 of 80 jaar oud weer, die had het alle top, die verstond alles. En dacht, wanneer ik je schon een holen kon, dan de vierten wordt in de aan, oh, maar die vreden zich nog voor de nieuwe dingen, wat ze de schrift leren deed. En wel we zo'n hart en zo'n zin hebben, dat we openzetten te nieuwe dingen leren van Jezus zijn woord, niet bloos zijn, ach, ik zie ook genoeg, ik weet wat me veelt, ik ga dat en dat is goed. Wel we niet gelijkeldig zijn met onze zaligheid, wat Jezus voor ons erlangt heeft, en dat hij ons wil te alle tijd helpen. Wel we vrouw zijn en dankbaar zijn en gehoorzaam zijn te wat zijn woord ons leren deed. Amen. Even gaan tot het gebed van de Samaris. Ik ga hier een paar prayer requests wat ik wil leggen met ons met te delen. Het eerste kamp van George en Sarah Harder. En ze vragen dat voor gebedsongerstatting. Sarah, de mama, is zeer krank. En ze waren beden dat God zijn welen kon gedaan worden. En Anita Elias, die vraagt ook voor gebedsongerstatting. Dat ze struggelen dat met anxiety. En dan heb ik hier een prayer request voor Anna Giesbrecht, man is Ben, mother to Suzanne en John Cron, Agatha en Pete Wall, Anna en Henry Cron en Evelyn en Abraham. Dit zijn alles lied wat in onze kerk komen. Anna was admitted to the hospital Christmas Eve and is not doing well. She had surgery to remove a blood clot, but the bleeding continued. She had a second surgery yesterday to remove another blood clot, hoping this will stop all bleeding. Pray for the surgeons and doctors that God gives them guidance and direction for the bleeding to stop and for healing to happen. Also pray for peace and comfort for their family. Thank you. So for this is Aachen, and what you want us for the Samaritans, if I have the Gelegenheit name and Vedekon, can I give me hand and beat and in nom des Herrn? Mocht de Heer onze vele gebeden hier in ons nedig zijn. Amen.
Please take your red books and turn to page number 168, just as I am. Can we stand, please?
I come just as I am.
Trusting the Lord has heard our many prayers, we are encouraged to continue with our service this morning. For our second portion of our service, I've entitled it, Lord, Increase Our Faith. Those are a few words out of Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And then I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, where you read, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes, at least for myself, I believe I understand what a certain word means. But out of interest, how does the dictionary define it? And you might have heard me do this before. I like to look up the word and just see what, how do they describe? And I looked up the word faith. And it was written this way, belief and trust in and loyalty to God. You know, I found that interesting. You know, a dictionary I often assumed was written, and probably is, by secular individuals, and yet they had a nice description of what faith is. And then it went on to say, firm belief in something for which there is no proof. And then it also said, complete trust. You know, and as a Christian, it takes complete trust in something that sometimes we haven't seen, but we know Christ is there. We see the proof around us in how Christ changes things in people's lives, how he orchestrates the universe and all of nature, his beauty, his faithfulness to us is always evident. And in likewise, we in turn trust or believe in him totally. And other words that sometimes are used for the word faith are believe and also the word trust. And you'll notice in the scripture passages that I'm going to look at this morning, those words are sometimes interchanged. The three of them, faith, believe, and trust. Going back to the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, I believe is one of the first places where it is talked about faith in the Lord. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, and it's about Abraham. And that he was promised that he would have a child, even in his old age. And in verse 6, it tells us, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So here's a clear record of Abraham trusting or believing in the Lord. And he placed his trust in God through faith, and God was well pleased with him. And then if we go back to the New Testament, in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 13, pardon me, I'm in the wrong place here, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, first of all, I want to look at, and where it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if we want to please the Lord, if we want to give honor to him, we have to fully trust or have full faith in him, and that God will reward those that diligently seek him is a promise in God's word. And now I'd like to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, where we read, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." You know, we are to remain in our faith, or as it says here, to abide in our faith, not to turn our back on it, but to remain faithful and continue to trust in the Lord. The writer here, Paul, to the Corinthians, he says, "Now we see through a glass darkly." In other words, you know, we don't always understand or see things clearly. But when we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, when our physical body dies and our soul is with Jesus, we will understand. And then we will see clearly. And then we will not wonder what the Lord has in store for us. Our faith helps us to overcome difficult circumstances. In 1 John in chapter 5, in verse 4, we read, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So it is through faith that you and I are a victorious people. We're not pushing or fighting a losing battle. You know, even though evil around us exists, it's a reality. But reality also is that as a Christian, we have the comfort of knowing the battle is won. You know, whatever happens to us, and in and if we give up our life, Christ is there. You know, in the world, there's many people being killed for their faith to this very day. You know, we've read a lot of this in history, but it is not foreign at all. It is still happening in other countries to this very day. And reality is, these people that are faithful, they have and they are assured of there is something better waiting for them than the world can offer them. For us, this is difficult to grasp and to understand. We live in what we refer to as a relatively peaceful country. We're not persecuted for our faith. We might sometimes be ridiculed by others around us. We might be poked at and sort of tested, but in reality, no one needs to give up his or her life on an account of their faith. Faith helps us to overcome and remain strong and steadfast. It helps us not to get bogged down with the negativeness that is out there. It helps us to enjoy Christ's presence in our lives. And as you read in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, faith brings hope, it brings peace, it brings a love for Christ and one another. In the book of Romans in chapter 10, and in verse 17, we read, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You know, how do we develop faith in our lives? Well, we won't just get faith by doing nothing. We have to trust. We have to read God's word. We have to do what we're doing this morning, gather in God's house, and to be encouraged, to be admonished, to grow spiritually. You know, and sometimes we can very easily become guilty of just coming to God's house 1 hour a week on a Sunday morning and then leave the rest of the time to all sorts of other things that take up our time in life. And then if we feel we're not growing spiritually, don't be surprised. You know, just like our physical bodies, if we wouldn't eat for 6.5 days, we would be very hungry. And likewise, our soul is hungry, but we often sort of push that hunger to the back. We don't take enough time to study, to read God's word, and to apply God's word to our lives. But our faith grows when we immerse ourselves in the reading of God's word. And we might not always understand everything we read, but to ask for wisdom, God will give us what we need for the day. In the book of James, in chapter 1, in verse 5 and verse 6, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." So if we don't understand, he simply says, ask. And he says, God doesn't upbraideth not. It means he doesn't find fault in us and say, how come you don't understand? You should definitely know. No, he is willing to open our spiritual eyes and help us to understand what we often don't understand. In the book of John in chapter 3, in verse 36, the first part of the verse, he says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." So to place our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ, and to understand that we have eternal life, not here in this world, but even after our physical bodies die, that in and of itself should encourage us, should uplift us, should take away all the fears that so often, so easily want to settle in and rob us of peace and joy. In the book of Mark in chapter 5, and in verse 34, Jesus said, and here's the setting where a daughter is healed. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You know, here was a woman that had deep faith, and yet she was so humble, she felt so unworthy, that she thought within herself, if I could but only touch him, the hem of his garment, I could be healed. And when she did touch him, Jesus felt it. He recognized it, and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Or, "Who touched me?" You know, and we could think among a group of people, how in the world would he notice when someone touched him? But he did. He felt something go out of him. And then she was afraid. What would he do because she had touched him? And he consoled her. "Your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You know, the first thing he was saying was, go in peace. He didn't first heal her and then say, go in peace. Peace came first, then the healing. You know, and likewise in your life and in my life, when we trust, when we have peace and God chooses to heal, healing will come. Sometimes physical healing doesn't happen and we might not understand, but don't lose faith. Christ is always there. But how do we increase our faith? Is where we started off with in Luke 17:5, where the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and I'd like to pick up in verse 3, where Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." You know, and this was something that the apostles could not grasp. And they asked the question in verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You know, they understood, you know, if someone offends you or me, and they would do this 7 times in a day, you know, after a second or a third time, we would basically want to think, how sincere are you? You know, first clean up your act and prove to me that you're sincere. But Jesus says, forgive 7 times in a day. And we know later when Peter said or asked the question, Jesus said 70 times 7 in one day. So in other words, when someone asks forgiveness, we are to forgive. But then when they ask the question, Lord, increase our faith, here's what Jesus said in verse 6. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So he was talking about the faith of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is probably one of the tiniest seeds that is out there. And when you plant it, and I haven't seen mustard plants, but what we gather from God's word and from reading up a bit on it, it becomes a large plant. And Jesus talked in one place about where the fowls or the birds will even nest in this plant. So that is what faith does if we have unwavering trust. Lord, increase our faith, is what the disciples asked. Is that something we should maybe ask a little more often? In Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32, Jesus said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth up great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So it's not about measuring how much faith or how big or how small. It's a matter of unfailing faith, unwavering faith, just totally trusting. And then we come back to the book of Genesis, and I'd like to look at Abraham and an example of faith. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 22, in the first 13 verses, we have the story of Abraham, the father, who had not had a child until he was very old, way beyond childbearing years. And then when this child is yet a young child, God says to him, go to a certain place in the mountain and sacrifice this child. You know, I think if I had been Abraham, I would have said, God, what's this about? But we don't read about that. We simply see where Abraham the next morning took his young boy, he took some employees with him, they took and loaded up the supplies they needed for the sacrifice on a donkey, and they went their way. And as they come to a certain spot in the way, and they traveled for 3 days, you might say 3 days of opportunity for Abraham to change his mind. And after they had traveled for 3 days, Abraham says to his employees, you stay here. My son and I, we will go and make a sacrifice to the Lord. And you will notice when you read this, he says, we will return. You know, an act of faith, no doubts in his mind. And God tests him. And Abraham and his son, they walk a ways to where they were going to make this altar and to make this sacrifice. And as they're walking, this young boy, his name is Isaac, I can just imagine where he looks up to his daddy and he says, you know, we have everything we need to make this sacrifice, but we have nothing to sacrifice. And then Abraham says in faith, God himself will provide. And then they went about building this altar. They put the wood on it. And Abraham tied up his son. I can not even begin to imagine what must have gone through his heart and mind. And he was about to take the knife and to slay his son. And then God intervened. And God provided a substitute. There was a ram caught by its horns in the bushes, and they sacrificed that ram instead of Isaac. Why I share this story today is when we pray and ask the Lord to increase our faith, don't expect some magic potion to happen and it will be there immediately. Our faith is grown when we go through difficult times in life. When we ask for the Lord to increase our faith, be prepared. Something difficult is in store for you. I have no clue what it will be. But be assured, God is with you. God will help you to the very end, and your faithfulness will be rewarded. But God needed someone that was unwavering in his faith to provide leadership. And likewise, God needs you and me today. We might not be big leaders of big groups, but whether it's a neighbor that we witness to, whether it's a child that has gone wayward, wherever the Lord places us, God is going to be there for us and with us to reach out to others. And when we go through trials, we are rest assured he will not leave nor forsake us. He's going to be there to help us. But it might at times seem, where is this all headed? But when God increases our faith, these struggles will draw us closer to him. Don't pray those difficult things away, or try to, but rather pray for the strength and the courage to go through them. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2 and in verse 8, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You know, as we have faith in the Lord, and by God's grace, grace is something we get and we really don't deserve. It's God's gift to us that we have salvation. So when God tries you, tests you, or allows difficult things in life, it is to increase your faith and to strengthen you, and that you in turn can reach out and help those that sometimes are struggling. In James chapter 2, I'd like to share the first 5 verses, where James writes, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him?" You know, it's no amount of wealth that will strengthen our faith. And as a matter of fact, very often the poor have more faith, if you want to measure faith, than maybe those that are very self-sufficient. And when we think of the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was wealthy. He had over an abundance of everything that he needed. And he died and ended up in hell. Not because he was rich, but because he had trusted in himself. Poor Lazarus died the same day, ended up in heaven, not because he was poor, but obviously his faith was strong and steadfast, and he was rewarded for it. So let's put our trust totally in the Lord. It reminds me of what I often refer to my favorite verses in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, to totally trust, no wavering, no doubting, and the promise is there, God will direct your paths. And then in verse 7, we might say is a bit of a warning, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." And when it says fear the Lord, it's not a fear of being afraid, but it is referring to a high regard or a deep respect, to love the Lord wholeheartedly, you know, and he will bless you in return. And another point I'd like to bring out, faith is what we often refer to as the fruit of the Spirit that we find in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And faith, we might say, is the first fruit of the Spirit that is listed, or not the first, but it is listed among these fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, when these attributes are a part of your or my life, it shows others how deep our faith in Jesus Christ is. And with Christ living in our hearts, We can be a faithful individual. We can be an example to those around us. But faith isn't just something we develop. It is also something we use and live with or live by every day of our lives. In James, in chapter 2, we could pick up in verse 14 through verse 20. And here it teaches us how important it is to live out our faith. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Again, I want to reiterate, our works are not our salvation, but our works are a very direct result of our faith in Jesus Christ. And then in verse 26 of James 2, it says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So if we say we have faith, but our life doesn't reveal it, it's teaching us that faith is dead. So let's live out our faith to the fullest. Let's show our love to Christ by loving on those that are around us. In closing, I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So let's continue to look to Jesus to help us live out our faith. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us so well. And Lord, increase our faith. Help us to remain steadfast in our faith with you. Help us to be that shining light that will encourage others to come to the faith of Jesus as well. And Lord, you know each one's heart. You know what's burdening them. May you lighten the load. May you strengthen their faith. May you help each one of us to remain steadfast in whatever circumstances that we're in at this time. Lord, we love you, we adore you, we praise you for being a Redeemer, our Savior, that provided salvation so full and so free. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we kneel for a time of prayer, I have another prayer request that I'd like to share with us this morning. Please pray for Abe, or for Tina and Abe Gunther. Abe is also known as Sito, and their daughter Talia. Abe has been struggling emotionally for some time, which has led to an alcohol addiction. Abe is in a treatment center in Gimli at this time, and they are asking for prayer support for Abe's recovery and for Tina and Talia as they support and then they encourage him through this difficult time. And here's a note to add to the prayer request we had earlier about Sarah Harder's mother. She has gone home to be with Jesus, and Sarah thanks everyone for the prayers and that her mother now is free from suffering. So that is a praise item. And let's praise God, and let's also pray for Sito and Tina and their daughter in this difficult time in their life. For those that are able, let us kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
Take the red book and turn to page 542. God be with you till we meet again.
Just a reminder for anyone contemplating baptism, we'll be starting our classes this Tuesday at 7:30. We'll be meeting in the prayer room, so you can contact any of the ministerial if you have questions or just show up on Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. We've come to the conclusion of our service. Thank you for your prayer support. It is felt, and may God bless you for that. Let us bow for the benediction in both languages. Der Herr segne dich und behüte dich. Der Herr lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Der Herr hebe sein Angesicht über dich und gebe dir Frieden. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.